Hola, hello, bienvenido, and welcome to Chatty Carmens, a podcast that gives female-identifying changemakers of color a platform to share their projects, stories, knowledge, and experiences that have shaped their careers and viewpoints. We are here to inspire a new generation of Carmens, and I'm your host, Michaela Santiago Frobel. In this episode, I am joined by the president and founder of Tender Steps New York, Evelyn Bautista Miller. Check this out. She earned both her bachelor's and master's degrees in social work from SUNY Albany's Rockefeller School of Social Welfare. She attained her school district administration license from the Leadership Academy at MCLA and a bilingual certification from Touro College. And what makes this woman even more special to me is she is a fellow Bronx and NYCHA sister. NYCHA stands for New York City Housing Authority for all those listeners who are not from New York City. And here she is, crushing it.
From the Bronx.
My introduction for you just hit on some impressive things that you have done. But let's jump in. Please share a little bit more about yourself, what you do, and how has your work evolved due to the COVID-19 pandemic?
My name is Evelyn Bautista Miller. And by the way, Michaela, I feel so honored to be part of this podcast. I'm excited for your endeavors. And I just want to share some information about my nonprofit by the name of Tender Steps of New York. And it's Pasos Tiernos de Nueva York. What we are is a nonprofit that I started in Rockland County. I have 4 children, and I realized I could not have more because I was broke before the first. So I decided to have a 5th baby, and it came into fruition because I saw that the area here, specifically that I live in Rockland County, needed more support, especially families that reside in shelters, families that English is not their first language. So there was a lot of needs that needed to be filled. And I had this passion. I have great board members that support my mission and my goal. And it brings me so much excitement to see the faces of family members. We provide case management on a need to support basis in regards to referrals. On our website, sometimes families reach out and have things to donate, and we always provide the information of where they can send their donations. Obviously, because of the global pandemic, a lot of the efforts that we did do had to be on pause, and we had to service in different capacity. In May of 2020, we did a webinar to support the community, especially with everything that's happening. And we did this webinar May 21st before the situation with George Floyd and everybody else before and after that. So with the injustice of unrest. And what we did was, it was called Redefining COVID, with the acronym for Courageously Overcoming in a Viable and Innovative and Determined Way. And it was a webinar just sending a ray of sunshine to people, because a lot of times we need to support each other in different capacities, and it's just a matter of being a little more creative than anticipated. So thank you.
The work you're doing in Rockland County is quite crucial. As I read on your website, the numbers don't lie. 23% of Rockland County's children live below the poverty line. 13% of Rockland County students don't finish school. Originally being from the Bronx and moving to Rockland County, what was the moment for you that made you realize that this work was important and urgent for the community that you were living in?
I think maybe about 9 years ago, I used to work for a school district that had social workers. And because of budgetary reasons, the position was no longer going to be available. I ended up pursuing administrative opportunities in another school district, but that really tore my heart. And I realize how much more support these families need. And with the bonds that I created, as well as what was needed within the community, I had said to myself, I have to do something to try to do a little bit of a difference in supporting. And that's how Tender Steps was created. We already embarking. We started in 2014. So pretty much we're going into our seventh year. So I'm really excited about it.
For sure. And with the pandemic, you know, the aftermath of it, how do you see Tender Steps evolving to do work with these families?
A lot of times because within my career as a social worker, as a former administrator, working in different capacities, I realized more than ever that my various talents need to be put in the forefront. And with this pandemic, there's definitely going to be a lot of post-traumatic stress over everything that's going on between social injustice, between loss of income, between the increased amount of insecurity with food, as well as household domestic violence, all these things. And I think that with Tender Steps and all the wise people that have decided to join as board member, I think coming up with the ability to provide that extra line of support. And of course, this is speaking of after, when things are safe, when COVID is totally eliminated. It's actually going into the community and providing that extra support, meaning that there's all these nonprofits in Rockland County. And unfortunately, I have not had the means to really get grants for a lot of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. But I feel that having people on the board and supporting the mission, I think that more and more monies will be able to come our way so that we can execute more support in the capacity that we would like. I was thinking of during this pandemic, perhaps for Tender Steps, we can put together a care package for those shelter residents, because a lot of times, by all means, some of them don't even know that they're going to end up having to need to be in a shelter. Mm-hmm. So that's just those little things sometimes you don't really think about. And that's what we're going to try to formalize, something like that.
Now, can you speak a bit on how your upbringing and culture affected your viewpoints and really inspired you to create this amazing organization in Rockland County?
I think we were raised with both my parents. My dad was a taxi driver, first generation from Dominican Republic. My mom's last education was about second grade because she was raising her other younger siblings, a family of siblings of 12. She was the second oldest and one of two girls. She's been such a strong person. And I remember we were on public assistance. We lived in NYCHA in the tenement. And I remember going to they used to call it welfare back in the days, but for public assistance, we used to go to the office. And I remember how they used to just talk down to my mom just because she didn't know English. And it made me so upset because here I am, an 8-year-old, interpreting for my mom. So I literally had to tell her what they were saying, and they weren't saying nice things. I think after a while, I started changing what they were saying about my mom because I knew how hard it was for my mom to depend on an 8-year-old to interpret and tell her what they're saying, and how degrading that must have made my mom feel. So, you know, with that being said, it made me feel stronger and be more of an advocate. And I started getting older and I started standing up for my mom. I remember being 12 years old and they would say negative remarks and they wanted me to interpret to my mom. I remember saying it so nicely to them. I don't think that's a good idea to tell my mom that. You know, I mean, here I am, 12 years old, pretty much interpreting what they want me to say. But I knew then that you should treat my mom like a human being. And just because English is not her, the language that she's able to communicate in, does not mean my mom is less than. And as I went to college, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, advocacy has always been on my shoulders. And, you know, mm-hmm. I remember even to the point that I go to the welfare office back in the days, my mom, I would interpret for some of the people because I felt so bad that they didn't have an interpreter. And again, this was a long time ago. So at that time, they were never mandated to provide the communication.
Being the only person who speaks a language in a room and having to be the person who can then interpret for others around us can be a blessing, but it also creates this sense of responsibility. If I don't do it, no one else will. I had a recent situation at a post office. A senior man was trying to send a package to Puerto Rico, and the men at the front desk could not get the senior gentleman to answer the security questions that would allow him to mail a package. Something that's so simple, and yet the man at the front desk became so frustrated, he had to yell out, "Does anyone here speak Spanish? Please."
I think part of it too is that it does get a little restless to hear a second language. And I'm reflecting of the times that I've done workshops and I do my own interpreting. Mm-hmm. So I say it in English, then I say it in Spanish. And I think for people who do not know the other language, they don't want to hear a language that is not relevant to them. Mm-hmm. So it does make things longer. And I recognize that. And I'm mentioning that because as much as it's it could be a little deterring to have something interpreted, it's so important. Because I want them to know what I'm saying. It reminds me of when I watch like wrestling and I hear that they're saying something in Spanish and then the interpreter doesn't interpret exactly what they say. It frustrates me because they're using the easy way out. But sometimes interpreting changes the actual message. And I'm saying that to say that as much technology that we have, as much support that we have to avoid situations that a person's not able to be understood, I do see that in this day now, I still see that they're not totally supported the way they should.
Especially for me, working in communications in the nonprofit sector. You know, as a nonprofit, we are serving the community. And if part of your community is bilingual or speaks a different language, it is the responsibility of that nonprofit to meet the needs of its community members. That is one of the reasons I find Tender Steps New York so amazing. You translate all your workshops, ensuring your services are available to Spanish-speaking families in your community.
It has its challenges sometimes because then it delays the process on delivering it, but it's so much worth it when I see these families. One time I did a workshop and I had a colleague of mine that speaks Creole. I did the Spanish, I did the English, and they did the Creole. And just seeing their faces, so excited that someone was there to interpret to a language that they felt more comfortable with, it said so much to the work that we do. And as we continue to we do workshops. Again, it's about being more creative because obviously with the pandemic, we're so limited on how we can support. But this gives us even more time to tidy things up so that we can be able to support more the community. It's like not working harder, but working smarter and using what we have and just building on it and executing it so that parents can really feel that they can get something out of it. A lot of times we've done workshops, there's a good amount of people. There's a lot. But to be quite honest, if there's at least one parent in front of me, that to me is enough. Mm-hmm. Because it becomes personal. And that's something that they remember. And they will get something out of it.
Tender Steps New York has an emphasis on relationship building within families. Can you tell us more about your current workshops?
Yes. We pretty much, a lot of it is parenting, by the way. A lot of our workshops focus on the ability to give the parents the tools to continue thriving. We've done, there's a workshop that we created about a year and a half ago. And it's about learning who you are as a parent and how you can reflect when you were a kid. So it's pretty much a workshop reflecting on what your parenting skills has developed to. It's almost walking through a parent's mentality of what brought them to their parenting skills at that point. And it really brings a lot of conversations, a lot of reflection. We've done parenting workshops on discipline, the no tolerance, but working around ways to support a child when you're having difficulties. We've done workshops on relationships with your teenager. A lot of times when kids become teenagers, they have this level of always talking back and talking about how they feel and all of these things that did not exist when I was raised. But nowadays, we raise our kids to be 21st century thinkers. So we open that can of worm, and it's a lot of challenges that comes along with it. So it's about being careful. I know, just to share, on our website, we have a lot of various topics that we discuss. But just for the audience to keep in mind that as much workshops that they are out there, what makes Tender Steps very unique is that we enjoy integrating the audience into the piece of what we're delivering. And it becomes almost like a family. Like, we do series, and when you do series, you see the same folks here and there. And it builds a community that after our workshops are said and done, and by the way, we've done workshops at different school districts in Rockland County, we realized that they built their own community within parents because they met them at these workshops. So to us, that's really what it's about. It's not even about the monetary of what we get for doing the workshops. It's really about the passion that we have in actually executing it. And a lot of times, districts reach out and they have something in mind. So it's not necessarily something that we already have, but we always tailor it to what is relevant for.
I want to go back to something you just said. You touched on something that is just so vital in helping parents understand their teenage children. We teach our kids to be 21st century thinkers. Each generation is just so different. Teens and young adults now speak back and try to have these discussions about their feelings. Meanwhile, I remember being a child and all I needed was a look. You know, if I had something to say, I kept it to myself and shared it with the Lord later on. You know, but the thing is that it's healthy to talk things out. I hear older family members say that young kids these days don't know how to communicate when it's the complete opposite. We gave millennials and Gen Z the tools to be the best and strongest communicators.
Definitely. That definitely is it. And you hear the saying, cliche, you got to move with the times. That is something really serious. We do have to move with the time. And that honestly means that the way we were raised, that discipline it evolved. Mm-hmm. We need to look at certain things that we are headstrong about and really reflect as, you know, when you are and when you become a parent. And that's the difference between what is going on in this world. Some things that was allowed before is non-existence now. Why? Because there's so much out there that we can do and to support our kids.
What is your favorite thing about what you do with Tender Steps?
Well, one of the best projects, and we sometimes do different types of projects. So one of the best projects that we did was we did a makeover at a shelter. And I'm not talking about makeover like makeup, lipstick, or anything like that. We're talking about it's a shelter in Rockland County, and it's a private shelter. And what we did was we collaborated with another organization in Rockland County called NPE. And what we did was we got the group to come and paint. We all painted it, changed the color. We got donations from Home Depot and Lowe's for different painting items. We got various donations of beautiful frames, beautiful stands. And it was just incredible. And the look of these children that, by the way, they're part of that organization is Naomi Program of Excellence, by the way. That's the acronym. So the family, they came and paint. Even my own kids were painting. It became a paint party. And the look of the residents' faces as they would come up the stairs or down the stairs, either pregnant or holding their one-year-old or holding their three kids, different things. They were just so amazed. And when everything was said and done, it was like their face of like relief. Whether they're there a day, a week, a year. The point is, I wanted that their experience would be that being in a shelter does not have to be so negative, right? Maybe it's a time to reflect and discuss. Yeah, and one of the other things we've done, and we've done yoga night, had a colleague donated her time to do yoga. And it's those little things that regardless of what they're going through in life, that it doesn't always have to be such a negative impact that we can try to prevent. And that's what it's about. Mm-hmm.
What would your advice be to someone who wants to do this kind of work, who wants to enter the nonprofit and start their own nonprofit? Do you have any advice?
Yes. I think they have to think about what's their why. Why are they doing it? Mm-hmm. What was impactful of something that happened that made you think that it might be a good idea? Mm-hmm. Because your why is going to be what's going to fuel you to keep going. And what's important is to have the right people on your team. Hmm. I have countless school administrators on my board, as well as employees within the school systems, various school districts. And that has been very instrumental in the movement of what my vision has been. And to start a nonprofit, you really have to be dedicated. I have my own family, but there's countless hours that needs to be put in. You have to have your monthly meetings. You have to have financial means to keep up with what you do. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is that they really stay close to their why. Why are they doing it? Mm-hmm. And once they have that, they'll be able to figure it out.
Now, to close out this interview, I want to ask you, Evelyn, what chatter brings you laughter?
Oh, my goodness. So I'm thinking about, so there's a saying that my dad used to say. He's no longer with us. But he used to say this, and my dad was a man with few words, meaning that, as I mentioned before, he was a taxi driver, and We always had jokes with my mom's friends and things like that. And sometimes to talk to him over the phone, he would cut you off really quick. He wasn't about having like conversations. Like he'll say, is everything okay? All right, talk to you later. See you soon. So yeah. One of the things that my dad used to say, and this is in Spanish, but I'll say it in English. And of course, it's going to get lost in translation. So I'm going to say it in Spanish first. He would say, a mí no me gusta el bochinche, pero me entretiene. So in English, my dad used to say, I don't like the gossip, but it entertains me. And that, when life gets pretty, you know, challenging at times, I think of my dad saying that and it cracks me up. Because the truth is, in this world, you have to find some level of excitement, some level of happiness. You got to create your own happiness. Like, you could throw me in a closet and I'll have fun because I'm going to make the best of what I have and what I can do.
Yeah.
So when things get challenging, I think of my dad saying that and I start laughing because it's true. Like, you got to look for ways to entertain yourself, because sometimes when things happen, instead of crying, I'd rather laugh.
Yeah.
And that's what I used to get from my dad. Like, don't be crying because nobody's going to throw a pity party for you. You better find something to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what I think about.
That's amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much, Evelyn. Mind you, everyone, she will be honored by the New York State Assembly for her work with Tender Steps of New York. Thank you so much for giving your time to me today, Evelyn.
Thank you, McKenna. And by the way, it's an award as a 2020 Woman of Distinction.
Ooh, that is incredible.
It's pretty surreal. And I feel very blessed and fortunate. So thank you, Michaela, for letting me do your first podcast.
All right. Be sure to check out our social media platforms for links to our guests' work. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Chatty Carmens Podcast. If you or someone you may know wants to be featured as an episode, visit www.chattycarmens.com and select Nominate a Carmen. Adios!